Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel 22. And we're speaking on the subject of a few good men. Ezekiel 22. There was a lack of good men in Ezekiel's day, for sure. Verse 30. Ezekiel 22, verse 30 says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none, not one in those days." Thank God today for a few good men. And the challenge from God's Word today is for a few more, because we certainly need a few more good men. Now think with me this morning about prerequisites to being a father. What are the prerequisites to being a father? Think real basic with me. What's one prerequisite of being a father? Being a man. Though modern science is trying to change that, they're not going to succeed in that one. Being a man, functioning as a man, taking responsibility as a man can help make you a good man. Thinking like a man, acting like a man. These days, walking down the street, you're just not sure, you know, because she walks like Tarzan, he walks like Jane, and they both smell like cheetah. What is it? Well, whatever you are, take whatever that is to be whatever you're going to be. You know, a mister, a miss, or a mistake. What is it? Acting like a man makes for a good man. Working like a man, all of these are prerequisites to being a good father. If you follow me this morning, you will not be a good father until you're a good man. There's no good fathers who aren't good men. So the first prerequisite is being a man, and then being a good man, being a father, you can be a good father. And it's a dying art today. There's not as many in our nation anymore. At Grace Baptist Church, we do have a few good men, and thank God for that. And perhaps as a result of God's Word today, we can have a few more, because we can always use a few more. Now, I'd like to share with you this morning the men's thesaurus. We're going to do a little thesaurus skit for you. The Smiths are going to come and help this morning, because men don't always say exactly what they mean. Men don't always say what they mean. So, ladies, please listen in and allow the Smiths to translate what your man means when he says certain things. Here they come.
When a man says, "It would take too long to explain," he means,
"I have no idea how it works."
When a man says, "Take a break, honey. You're working too hard," he means,
"I can't hear the game over the vacuum cleaner."
When a man says, "That's interesting, dear," he means,
"Are you still talking?"
When a man says, "It's a guy thing," he means,
"There is no rational thought pattern connected with this, and you have no chance at all of making it logical."
When a man says, "Can I help you with dinner?" he means,
"Why isn't it ready yet?"
When a man says, "Uh-huh, sure, honey. Yes, dear," he means,
"Absolutely nothing. This is a conditioned response."
When a man says, "You know how bad my memory is," he means,
"I can remember the theme song to WKRP in Cincinnati, the phone number of the first girl I ever kissed, and the vehicle identification number of every car I ever owned, but yes, I forgot your birthday."
When a man says, "Oh, don't fuss, I just cut myself. It's no big deal," he means,
"I've probably severed a limb, but I will be before I admit I'm hurt, so get over here and help me.
When a man says, I can't find it, he means,
it didn't fall into my outstretched hand, so I'm completely clueless.
That one starts at birth. When a man says, I heard you, he means,
I haven't the foggiest clue what you just said. And I'm hoping desperately that I can fake it well enough so you'll not spend the next 3 days yelling at me.
When a man says, you know I could never love anyone else, he means,
I'm used to the way you yell at me and realize it could be worse.
When a man says, you look terrific, he means,
please don't try on one more outfit. We're late and I'm starving.
When a man says, I'm not lost, I know exactly where we are, he means,
no one will ever see us alive again.
When a man says, I don't think I can go today, he means,
shopping is not a sport, and no, I am never going to think of it that way.
When a man says, that's not what I meant, he means,
if something I said can be interpreted two ways, and one of the ways makes you sad or angry, I meant the other one.
If your husband says, honey, what color is this? He means,
all men see in only 16 colors, like Windows default settings. Peach, for example, is a fruit, not a color. Pumpkin is also a fruit, and I have no idea what taupe is.
Your shirt is pumpkin.
My shirt's orange.
And when a man says, I don't remember saying that, it's because he means,
anything I may have said 6 months ago is inadmissible in an argument. In fact, all past comments become null and void after 7 days.
Give him a hand. Thank you. All right. Well, we thank God for good men, and we're getting inside men's heads a little bit today, if that's not too scary for you. Good men. If you're following along on our handout for the day, good men are men who, number one, have learned to lean. Learned to lean, that is, to lean on the Lord. And if you look at the screen, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, this is a man problem. We lean on our own understanding. We fix it with our own hands. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, that is, lean on him, and he shall direct thy paths. Good men learn to lean, and learn to lean on the Lord. For what do we lean on the Lord? Well, for salvation, letter A, for salvation. Now, we know the verse, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. Don't lean on yourself for salvation. It's the gift of God, not of works, that's ourself, leaning on ourself, lest any man should boast. We men are bad about trying to be in control and making things happen. And often ladies find it easier to lean on the Lord, to rest in the Lord and lean on the Lord for salvation. It's more a part of a woman's nature to place themselves into the hands of another. And it's really not that way for men. And is that fair? Is that right? That it would be easier for ladies to lean on the Lord than for men? Jesus solves this very dilemma in Matthew 18 and verse 3, where he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as, not as women, become like little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Even a woman has to do that, become of childlike faith in order to be saved. the man who tries to have it all figured out before he comes to the Lord and before he gets saved is never going to get saved. You must become like a little child with little childlike faith and say, yes, Lord, my Creator. Yes, Lord, my Redeemer. I'll stop making my own way in this life and I will lean on you, realizing that I can't take the breath that I take without you, that I would have never been made without you, that I could not continue to be sustained, that I wouldn't be blessed with the wife and the beautiful children that I have without you. And so, yes, Lord, I say yes to you. I will lean on you for salvation. I'll become like a little child and do something that is against my manly nature. I will let go and I will let God save my soul. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see a man become a child of God today? Praise the Lord. Well, children have that attitude of trust. Even male children have that attitude of trust necessary for salvation. But something happens to us once we feel even the slightest amount of peach fuzz forming. Something changes in the human male. And so we need to lean on the Lord for salvation. I thank God for a few good men that we have here at Grace who have leaned on the Lord for salvation. Letter B, also, we should lean on Him for strength. For strength. Now, all of us, most of us have heard the verse that says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. That is a picture of leaning on the Lord. But you know what the verse right before that verse says? Let's put it up on the screen. Isaiah 40 and verse 30 says, even the youths shall be faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fall. We do not lean on the Lord for strength until we realize that we have to, that we must. Even the young men shall utterly fall, the youths, even a young man shall be faint and be weary. We need to lean on the Lord for strength. And then the next verse, the next slide, says that they that wait upon the Lord, lean on the Lord for strength, shall renew that strength, mount up with wings as eagles, and you can soar above the storms of life. So we lean on the Lord for salvation. We lean on the Lord for strength. Check out Psalm 147 and verse 10, talking of the Lord. It says, He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. God is not impressed by our macho shows of strength. We are to lean on Him. I'm not sure if it's in our hymnal or not, but how many of you remember the old gospel chorus, Learning to Lean? Learning to Lean? Will you help me remember it? Let's try to sing it together right now. This isn't in our notes, so let's see what we can do here. It goes, Learning to lean, learning to lean, I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. A few good men, they lean on the Lord for salvation, and it makes them a better man than they were before. They lean on the Lord for strength, and it makes them a more macho man than when they stood all on their own. They lean on the Lord, and it makes them a better husband than they were before, a better dad than they were before. One of those few good men, leaning on the Lord. All of us, once we're saved, once we're leaning on Him for strength, should lean on Him for supply. That's letter C. Philippians 4:19, My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, it's another man habit. We want to be the breadwinner. We want to be the mighty hunter. Ugh, look what I drug into the cave. We need to see our own selves as being in God's hands. You know? How many of you ladies respect a man who leans on the Lord? Could you say amen? it doesn't take away from his manliness, does it? It makes him a better man. And you see, in a word, you know what that is? Leaning on the Lord, not only for salvation, but for strength and for all of our supply. That is our material goods, the things of this world. When we don't see ourselves as just the mighty hunter, the reason that this family is making it financially, you know what in a word that is? It's faith. Faith. And we need to be men of faith. And worrying about things that are out of our control is not faith. And the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Sin. How about letter D? Lean on the Lord for soundness. Soundness. Because we need His wisdom, we need His reasoning, that kind of soundness. I love James 1:5 on the screen. James 1:5. Because it's one of only two prayers that the Bible promises that a man can pray to which God's answer is always yes. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to the most worthy men. No. To all men liberally wisdom, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It shall be given him. By the way, the other prayer that you can pray and God's answer will be yes, of course, is the prayer for salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You need saved? Ask Jesus to save you. The answer will be yes. And now, walking through the course of this world, you need wisdom? Ask for it, and you shall receive. Seek it, and you shall find it. Knock, and the door of wisdom will be opened unto you. I thank God for a few good men who have learned to lean on the Lord, and that it doesn't make us a weak man. It makes us a better man. You love your wife. You love your children. I don't doubt it for a second. The Bible promises you can love them even more by allowing the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to enter your heart and soul, and that it'll make you an even better man than you already are, that it'll make you a stronger man than we feel like we are. A few good men have learned to lean, and then we must learn to get back to the basics of how God would have manliness to be. He would like for us to lead, L-E-A-D. We learn to lean, that's number one. Now learn to lead. Men who have learned to lead, first of all, their flesh. Their flesh. You see, our flesh will lead us if we don't lead our flesh. We as men, and women for that matter, must allow the Lord to help us to lead our flesh in the right direction. And men in particular, our flesh must be led, or we will be led like a dog by a chain. By our flesh we will be led. Galatians 5, beginning in verse 16, says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So the Spirit led man. Learn to lead and to be led, not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Because the two are in a war together, the verse goes on to say. Next slide, Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ." That's not leaning on myself. "Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Men, again, we must learn to let the Lord help us, lead us, and lead our flesh, lest we be led around, like most men, led by our flesh, answering every whim, just doing whatever it says to us, whatever our flesh says to us to do. If it feels good, do it. That's man being led by his flesh. It's time for some men to take leadership, first of all, of their flesh. And of course, number two, of their families. The leadership of the family. As long as the Bible says that the husband is the head, as it says in Ephesians 5:23, the husband is the head, I'm going to believe that the husband is supposed to be the leader. Now, how many of you agree with that today? You're a part of a diminishing few in the world today. And yet, that's what the Bible says. And headship isn't about being the big boss. It's about loving leadership. God is no respecter of persons. I mean, women are equal in His sight, for sure. And yet the Bible calls her, don't be offended, the weaker vessel. Have you ever been offended by that in the Bible? Have you ever just wondered about that? It's okay to admit that. The weaker vessel. This is not an insult, ladies. Rather, it's a compliment. Because what this phrase means here is not that you're less valuable in any regard, but that you're more fragile, that you're more delicate, but actually your value is great. And you're the weaker vessel in the sense that you need strong yet loving leadership. I love the example. Women are like silk. Women are like fine silk. Men are like corduroy. You know? And by the way, have you heard the news about corduroy pillows? I'm surprised. They're making headlines. All right. Back to the illustration. Silk and corduroy. Question today. Of silk and corduroy, which one is more fragile? Silk is. Which one is more valuable? Also the silk. Yes. In God's wisdom, He has given each family a head, because anything with two heads is a monster. And yet this headship is not a privilege so much as it is a responsibility. That's how men should see this placement by God as the head of the home, not of, I'm the boss of you. Not as a privileged position nearly so much as we view it as a responsibility, a weight, that God would entrust to me the leadership of this family, of this home. The hardest thing you'll ever do, men, is to be a good husband and a good father to your children. You say, oh, I do some really hard things at work. I've done some really hard things in life. The hardest thing we'll ever do, if we succeed at it, is to be a good husband and a good father. You see, Eli was supposedly a man of God, the preacher in the temple. Eli could run the temple, but could not run his own family. David, a man after God's own heart, could run the kingdom and could lead men into battle, but lost his own children. You see? I think it was Billy Sunday who, toward the end of his life, looked at his wife and said, Maud, we won the world, but we lost our boys, and we're failures. And so, a few good men will learn to lean, will learn to lead their flesh, lead their families, and then we must lead the fallen. That's letter C, lead the fallen. Because God left us here for a reason, to lead the fallen ones to Jesus. Hosea 6:7 says, look at it on the screen here, they, like men, oh, this is so like a man, they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. The word men there could be translated Adam. They, like Adam, have transgressed against God. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man, that was Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. A few verses later, verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, that's Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, that's Jesus Christ, shall many be made alive. That's the next slide. The free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, that's Adam, many were made sinners, that's all of us, so by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Shall many? That's a question right there that I'm asking at the end of the verse. Shall many be made righteous? Not if we don't lead the fallen. But it's amazing what these verses say about what one man can do for the sake of many others. It's why God left us here. 1 Corinthians 15:22, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Shall all be made alive? No, not if we don't lead the fallen. Men who learn to lead their flesh, lead their families, and thus lead the fallen. I thank God for a few good men who've learned these things. And then, number three, we need to learn to love. Men, who have learned to love. Who do we love? Well, of course, first and foremost, the first and greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, the Father, is what letter A is, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, mind, body, and strength. It's the first and greatest commandment. Learn to love the Father. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter that says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity or love, I'm like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and understand all knowledge, though I have all faith, these are the following slides, so that I could remove mountains. If I have not charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, give my body to be burned, if I don't love, it's all for nothing. It's all for nothing. 1 Corinthians 16:22 says this. 1 Corinthians 16:22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be... I think we're going the wrong way, aren't we? Go back to it. I want them to see this. 1 Corinthians 16:22, and it's backwards. There we go. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be... You know what that means? Accursed. Anathema. Accursed. Men who've learned to love the Father... First and foremost, the first and greatest commandment, in which all the other commandments are encapsulated. We need to learn to love the Father. We need to learn to love our families, which we've already covered, right? Now let's add a little bit to this under letter B, learning to love the family. How did we cover this under leadership? Well, we said that the only real leadership is loving leadership, not lording leadership, but loving leadership. And let's take it a little bit further here. You remember that the Bible says, God admonishes every husband, husbands, love your wives. Seems like a strange command to many. Some will say, well, if I didn't love her, I wouldn't have married her. Now wait just a minute. Love, as used here, means a lot more than just affection. Means a lot more than just attraction. It means much more than just emotional feeling or a feeling of satisfaction. It means this. It means that you and I are going to seek the welfare and the happiness of the person that we have agreed to love. Remember that love is a choice, not just a feeling, right? It's a choice that you make. I am choosing to love you the rest of my life, even times where you're not too lovable. Even times where you're not acting very loving yourself, I'm going to love you in the way that you need to be loved. That means that our effort should be to make the object of our love happy. The one that we say that we love, make them feel loved the way that they do feel love. And that means getting in their head a little bit. That means thinking a little bit like them. That means not just continually demanding, I'm here, and if you want to be with me, then get over here, but coming together, becoming more like one another, getting inside one another's heads, if not too scared by that, and learning more about that person's love language. What's their language of love? How do they perceive love? Well, they need to fix their perception and hear me what I'm saying. My exact words were, these are like man's last words. Hear these words. No. How did you hear it? Not just how did I say it, how did you hear it? And how can you better hear love from me? This admonition goes far beyond just telling the husband to love his wife as long as she's beautiful, as long as she's serving in some way, as long as the house is clean or the meals are ready or whatever. A man was talking to his wife one day after she had done something that he did not approve of. And it came right out of his face. He said, "How can you be so beautiful and so stupid at the same time?" She answered quickly and wisely, "God made me beautiful so you would love me. He made me stupid so I would love you." So learning to love, the first point was loving the Father, and then the second point is learning to love the family. Guess what? They go together. Now, I would not dare to say to any man in this room, you don't love your family or you don't love your wife. You do, and you know it. I know it. I also know that the Bible teaches that we learn by loving the Father and by allowing Him to save us. We learn a new depth of love that we didn't know before that then qualifies us to love our spouse and our children even more than we thought possible. It's one of the benefits of being saved. Learn to love the Father, to better love the family. Letter C, the fellowship. The fellowship. And you know all the church is a group of families, a group of homes that come together to form the family of God. And as the home goes, so goes the church. And as the church goes, so goes the nation. And so the fellowship, very important here, learning to love the fellowship, that is the church. That means coming to love something that Jesus loves. You say you love God, say you love Jesus, then you'll love what He loves. Ephesians 5:25 says, Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. If Jesus loves the church, so should I. If Jesus went to church, and He is the church, but He went to church, then so should I, and I ought to be faithful at it. Revelation 3 and verse 9, at the end of the verse, Jesus is talking, and He says to this church, look at the bottom there if you can read it, and to know that I have loved thee. Jesus loves the church not just as a building or an organization. He's talking to individuals there at that church saying, I love you. He loves the church, and so should we. Isaiah 43 and verse 4, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. In other words, leaders in the church, to exercise loving leadership there. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. We're talking about love of the Father, love for one another, and loving His church. You know what you're saying when you come to church? Every time you come to church, if you do it in the right heart, you're saying, Jesus, I love you. And the closer that I draw to you, Lord, the more I love the things that you love. And though church is done wrong all over the place, and oftentimes where I go to church, it's done wrong, you love the church, and so do I, because I love you. Every time you come to church, you're saying to the other Christians and believers gathered there, and your own family that whom you sit by, I love you. I love you. And I know it's kind of a bummer going to church when we're down, when there's not as many people and the spirit seems down. And I want to be a part of the solution by being there every time that the doors are open. You're saying to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, I love you. And I don't want to be the one that lets you down. I'll be there. Will you be there? When you come to church, you're also saying, Pastor, I love you. I know that you put work into these messages, and I want to hear a message from God, and I love you. But first and foremost, we're saying to our Heavenly Father, I love you. And this is your day. And thus, every Sunday is the Father's Day celebration. Matthew 12 and verse 50, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, sister, mother. It's a family. And so, what is the will of the Father? See the beginning of the verse? What is the will of the Father? For us to love the fellowship, for us to join the fellowship, to be a part of it. If you've never been saved, get saved. If you've been saved but you've been away from the Lord, get right. Get saved, get right, get into church, get busy, for the time is drawing near. Get connected, John 15 and verse 5. Get connected. Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Connect to Him. Abide in Him. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. I don't know about you, but I want to know what this much fruit is all about. And so we must be connected. Connected. Is it this Saturday that we have our men's fellowship? This coming Saturday. 6 days from now at Brother Brian's house, right? If it wasn't, it is now. It's at Brother Brian's house this coming Saturday. We've been having a great time. Pastor Jeremy's been leading a group of our men in a Bible study and fellowship, and it's been wonderful. We don't want to leave, you know? And it's a great thing. Come be connected with us, men, in something like that. I thank God for a few good men that God has given us here. And we need a few more. And so perhaps He'll call some out of our number once again today, that it not be like Ezekiel 22 and verse 30 in our text. I sought for a man among them to make up the hedge and stand in the gap, but I found none. No, no. God's got an army, and we need a few more to come and join in with us. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, it's actually God that's calling right now. God is calling for some lost men to say yes to Him and to trust Him in salvation, to lean on Him for salvation. Would you say yes to Him and let Him save your soul today? Learn to lean. Learn to lead. And learn how to love in an even better and deeper way than ever before. Lord, this morning we thank You for Your Word speaking to our hearts. And as You seek among us some men to fill in the holes and stand in the gaps, I pray that You would call them right out of our number right now. And those listening to this recording, Lord, that You would do Your work in the kingdom. I pray for souls to be saved. I pray for each one of us to receive from You today what You'd have for us to do now. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Now listen, before the music plays, before we stand to our feet, here's the plan on this day. For men to take the lead. For men to be leaders. And in this time of invitation, that's just one simple example of the ways that we can lead. And families to follow. And so we need some wives to just take dad's hand, and some kids to stand by dad's side and just say, lead us on. Lead us. And we will follow. So if you're a man here today and would like to lead your spouse, your family to the altar and just commit to the Lord the fact that we all need to learn how to lean better, to better learn to lead and to love more like Jesus loves. That's our challenge today as we stand to our feet and the music begins to play.